Source Radio.
Hello and welcome back to LNX on Source Radio. That was Something Awful by David Bowie, but don't never fear. Good music from Bowie is coming up, along with other good music, all of which is gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender and all that.
LGBT man, apparently.
But yeah, so it's all good, it's all gravy. And we're just going to roll with that pretty much. That's the main focus of the show. I'm also going to try and do a film review that I've been thinking about all week, because our actual film reviewer, Rich, ran away
to
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth,
of
right,
all
okay.
places. Why not?
I can't really blame him. It's considerably better than Coventry.
Yes, this is true.
If I was given the choice, I would flee as well, but I'm stuck for now.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you there. I know. We've also got Abigail in, who's here for talking about media stuff.
Because she's a student, I believe, here at Coventry University.
Sorry, that was a really bad introduction. I should have planned that better. But yes, so we're going to have a proper interview in a bit, which will be very interesting and good.
Improvise as well, probably.
Absolutely, that's how we roll on this
absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. We don't really plan anything. We just go at it. Eh?
Yeah, that hasn't failed us so far. but obviously, because we've been given a massive list of artists that are gay, effectively, that we can use for today's show. So pretty much we're going to use about five of them, because those are the ones we like. Hello, and welcome back to LNX on Source Radio. That was One Vision by Queen, which is just wicked. So, yeah, today on LNX and on Source Radio in general is LGBT week. So it's loads of gay music, and that was our first to kick it off. We've also got film reviews and interviews and stuff coming
and
up.
And, yeah, our guest, Abigail.
Hello.
Would you like to do a bit of an introduction? Because, obviously, Lewis mucked it up a little bit in the beginning.
Yes.
Poor lad. Poor lad, he's all over the place.
Yeah, today's one of those days. But it's okay. We're here, we're enthusiastic. And today we also have Abigail in to talk about her course, which is...
Journalism and English.
Right. So, first year, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm a first year student.
She hasn't, you know, she doesn't know her pain yet. Because I think the first year is nice. And then the second year and the third year, you get hell.
Everybody
so,
says that.
Yeah, enjoy your first year. But anyway, so what do you kind of do? Because I've heard you actually visit a nice studio.
Oh, yeah. At the moment, I'm studying broadcast journalism. So it involves reading the news, doing court reports, stuff like that. Basically, I'm the boring person that interrupts the music. That's what I am.
That's kind of what we do all the time.
Yeah, that's sort of our job.
Yeah. Although we kind of decided to play a little bit more music after Christmas, which we've been kind of doing, because we're getting a bit bored of being annoying, basically.
That's always a good outlook you've got, Xavier.
Yeah, I'm not defeatist at all. but how are you enjoying it, actually? How do you like Coventry?
Yeah, I mean, Coventry is a very big place compared to where I come from in Bedfordshire, so it's quite nice to actually have all these amenities around. You don't have to walk 7 miles for the nearest train station, so it's wonderful. The age demographic isn't over 70.
I suppose it's what would it be?
A good outlook.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're still going to be as positive in 2 years' time.
Yeah.
But maybe you will be. Who knows? I mean, guessing from your blog, she's got a blog. I think we'll post it. If you want, we can post it on Facebook.
I don't mind. Yeah.
Guessing from her blog, she's a big fan of the clubs here at Coventry.
Oh, you could say that. Been not as much lately. I think I've buckled down a bit and started to realise the first year does involve work.
Yeah, I had this sort of epiphany not that long ago as well. I've suddenly started not just sleeping on my days off and actually trying to do some work. I wasn't that bad, but it's been a bit weird on my sort of route to the second year, so I needed to get in the zone a bit. But you get used to it, trust me.
Yeah.
Trust him. I mean, I don't drink at all. I don't have any of these problems. I'm just like, oh, yeah, the typical sort of student ideology where you just think, I'll do it later. I've got time. And then a few days before that, you're like, oh, snap, I haven't done any work. Yeah.
Getting
I really
to that point
that.
Right now in my life where I'm like, oh, next week, 5 deadlines. Let's get on that.
Oh, I hate it.
It's a good outlook, though, you know. Yeah, so yeah, let's get on it. Let's get
so
in there.
You actually have 5 deadlines next week?
Yeah, I have 5 different pieces of coursework to hand in, and they're all different types of things. I need to write articles. So if anyone has any news they want to give me to write an article about, I'd much appreciate that.
Maybe you'd actually bring the paper today, by the way. Well, it's from yesterday, but it's quite right.
You actually are. Okay, sweet. Maybe we can find something for Abigail.
Yeah, exactly. Then. Start the topic live on radio. That's coursework for you.
Of course.
Fun times. Source Radio. Hello, and welcome to LNX on Source Radio. It's weird today. We've sort of got all these weird mix-ups with, like, Spotify and the crappy system we got here. But we're making it work. It's all
we
going...
We usually kind of make do with what we get, don't we?
Pretty much.
We get all kinds of challenges thrown at us, yeah.
Station. But yes, today is LGBT...
History
Day, or something like that.
If you haven't noticed, people have been selling... Last week, they were selling fairy cakes outside the library. You follow the Coventry news at all, apparently they did like a protest action where they glitterified or something a random person on the stairs. I saw the glitter still, but...
Oh, yeah, I saw the big pink thing.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
was that about?
Apparently it was a protest because a student union cut all the funding for LGBT History Month, blah, 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 and they were pissed off, so they did like a... Apparently it's a protest to glitterify someone, so they discovered someone in glitter.
Oh.
That's lovely. Well, yeah. You know, who doesn't like being covered in glitter?
You do
glitter.
All
my,
the time.
That's my, like...
you don't like glitter?
No, my sister once spilt a tiny little pot of eyeshadow glitter on our bedroom floor. We share a bedroom at home. And it literally went everywhere. And for the next, like, few weeks, everything I picked up was covered in these tiny bits of glitter. And it looked like I did it on purpose, which was the worst part.
Yeah. I thought girls liked glitter, but I suppose not.
Sounds like, it's like a war... Like awards, you know, you're shell shocked. Oh, the glitter, man! You don't know. You weren't there. There's too much glitter, and it's weird. It's all like haunted by it.
Which reminds me, have you guys heard of the cinnamon challenge?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not surprised you knew about it.
I haven't tried it.
If it's, you know, all kinds of sick or not so clever stuff, you know, Lewis is well informed.
That's what I'm here for.
Apparently, it's a challenge. It's the new planking, because obviously planking is not as retarded as this is. Actually, I suppose this is probably a bit more. Yeah, this is probably a bit more retarded. Basically, you get a spoonful of cinnamon, and you try and swallow it.
Yeah, a tablespoon of cinnamon. It's sounds just a bit painful.
The thing is, people like my girlfriend told me this morning, and I was just having a bit of a laughing fit because I was like, "Why would you want to do that?" And like, okay, I can see planking, kind of, it's retarded, but I could kind of understand that. But this is like self harm in a way, because really, this is not going to end well. It's powder. You're going to get it in your throat. It's going to completely cover your throat. You're going to have bad coughs, or it's going to go in your lungs. Cinnamon in your lungs. It's not going to be nice at all. Whatever you do, this is not going to end well.
But people love doing crazy stuff when they're drunk.
That's a good point, actually.
See?
It was a...
See, this is why you don't understand. Story. You don't drink.
I'm completely lost.
Us drinkers, we're hardened drinkers, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
We just manage it. We weather things like that. That's like in a day's drinking
I have seen people consume whole teaspoons of raw coffee in drinking games, and it wasn't pretty. They had brown teeth, and it just...
Oh, that's lovely.
I bet they... Did they puke? Did they manage to keep it in?
Oh, yeah.
As long as you're drunk enough, anything's fine.
I suppose you need to lubricate it with more alcohol and clear your throat.
Social lubricant of the masses, man. It's good. Yeah, it does the job. We're gonna get
in trouble for glorifying binge drinking, or you know.
Oh no!
Drinking.
Completely against binge drinking. That's ridiculous. But
you can, like, when you say that you can't take it serious, it's like this guy's talking utter bollocks. But okay.
No. You've got to get the right level of drinking. I'm driving an equation to that point as well. You've got to get it so that. You know, you don't just drink to get drunk. You drink to have fun. You drink to be with people.
You shouldn't have
drinking.
To drink to have fun, to be fair.
I don't drink. I
it
have
helps
got a good
when
time.
You've got sort of, you know, you're socially inept like me. You sort of, you just, you know, it helps. It pushes you in the right direction.
It's not so good when you wake up the next morning and you're like, I did what?
This is true. That's only happened once or twice in the last, non-remembered history. But I think that was my birthday, so I got away with
it. Does it count as history if you don't remember it?
That's a good question.
History lost. It's
like the dark ages of your life, because there's not a lot of documentation or memory of it.
These days, Facebook documents everything.
That's true, actually. That's true.
In picture form as well, which is deadly.
Isn't it interesting? Like, imagine if we die, you know, in like 400 years from now, we're obviously history, and then people are excavating, and they excavate the Facebook server, and like, holy shit. Excuse me. And they're like, obviously they go through the history, and you're like, these people, you know, 40 years ago, yeah. They were mad. They were absolutely
talking.
No wonder the world's gone to crap. Look at these people. It'd be quite interesting to see people look at what we're doing now, which is obviously for us, it's now. For them, it's past.
I suppose it's almost from a sober perspective in a way. Not sober as in not drunk.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
you're completely out of it. You out of that.
They kind of, they're not as ignorant and retarded as we are, I suppose. By that time, they've survived the nuclear winter we obviously caused.
You've got good outlooks for the future, I can tell.
Yeah, the world's going to crap, but at least they're going to excavate the Facebook service, and they're going to
at least they'll find
why.
Our Facebook pictures funny.
Yeah, they probably will. It's going to be a good laugh for them.
Good time. Source. Hello, and welcome back to LNX on Source Radio. That was Pure Morning by
Placebo,
which is a great song, which we can play. Why not? And I'm assuming
it's fairly mild, I'd say. It hasn't got any swearing in it.
No.
We've played worse, haven't we, mate?
We've already condoned binge drinking, so you might as well condone drug use as well.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Well, you know,
we put our name to all these things.
Yeah, us here at LNX, we're always up for promoting
One of our presenters is an insomniac, alcoholic insomniac. And he's also taking pills for something
else.
Not at the moment.
No, they were sleeping pills, and I'm not taking them anymore.
All right. What are you taking now? Medicinal weed.
Dude, no. I'm not a druggie, man. Jesus.
I've been trying to get him to get medicinal weed. It's so amazing. Yeah, I've got a friend.
That would be an interesting development in my
radio career.
Yeah. Well, yeah, along with other things.
All these kind of people are at it, you know. Artists,
yeah,
absolutely. It's kind of it's a lifestyle, and it's part of the lifestyle. I think you should totally embrace it. Don't be embarrassed for being an insomniac taking medicinal weed and having the
occasion. Yeah, okay. I'll suggest it to my doctor next time I go around.
Ask him. I bet he.
That's
a good point,
really
Lewis. You could probably. What would he say? Because would it actually work?
I'm pretty sure it's not legal in the UK.
That's. It is in America. You should migrate.
That's America.
I'll emigrate and then
get medicinal weed.
Emigrate just to get some weed. That's the only way that it's possible to ever do that. So.
I think I actually read on the internet that in America they've made Kinder eggs illegal. Do you know what a Kinder egg is?
Yeah.
Why
is that? Little toy. Because apparently it's illegal to put like a toy inside food because of a choking hazard.
Awesome.
They've actually made them illegal, so you can't buy them in America anymore. I'm pretty sure.
Oh my God.
And then I also read somewhere that in America they made pizza a vegetable.
The true story is it not? Yeah, everyone knows that.
They classed it as a vegetable because of the tomato paste. They said that it counts as a vegetable in schools.
Yeah, well, that's like McDonald's has to class its burgers as a dessert because of the sugar content.
That's so awful.
Oh, my God.
God bless America.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's actually quite interesting. There's quite a lot of... In fact, one of my housemates seems a bit like this. He's sort of always talking about like American accents and how sort of... Yeah, just negative about Americans.
All the pretend Americans. But then...
But actually, I know quite a few Americans, and they're all really nice and all very friendly, and it's all very good, and they're not like that at all. But there's so much misconception about it. It's bizarre.
Yeah, no, I've met a few Americans on my travels, and they're actually all right. But it's the image we get from America, obviously from the media, and...
Sure, yeah. I mean, it makes sense in a way, but yeah, I mean, because there are people out there like that, but in the same way that there are I mean, there are stereotypical French people, there are stereotypical English people, stereotypical Americans. You know, you get the same thing with every country.
True.
The trouble is, you just don't want to judge the whole country on
it. The Brits are actually famous for taking the piss out of stereotypes, because the Brits obviously do it.
That's our thing, man.
The Brits obviously do it, but then you've got John Cleese and stuff, and a lot of your comedians, they take the piss out of it, and it's kind of funny that you can laugh with it, knowing that you're actually really stereotypical. But you can still joke about
That's
it. I love that. I love that, actually. It's quite good.
Oh, the bitter irony. But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one. It's something to ponder on out there, if you're listening.
Yeah, he's obviously been drinking, as you may be
able. Dude. This is Source Radio. This technology is ridiculous.
Have you ever wondered how awesome I am? That was what Spotify was going to say.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what it was saying. But anyway, sorry about that. It's Spotify and stuff. We're just going to be complaining about it the whole show.
Yeah,
that's
are.
What we do anyway.
You're like as whiny as Placebo. We're the next Placebo, basically. This is band practice right here.
Yeah, this is it. This is where it all happens, people.
We build up the whininess and then we go in the studio and just whine.
Absolutely.
Write a soppy love song or a song about friends with weed and breasts and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what everyone wants to hear about anyway, so...
Apparently, that's why they got famous. Well, not the only reason, obviously, but it's a big song for them.
Yeah. Anyway, something I was going to talk about this week, because we've obviously lost our resident film reviewer to the wilds of Bournemouth and the South. I was going to...
It's right there.
Yeah. I was going to talk about a film I watched recently, but the reason I watched it actually was... Because I read the book, and this was Casino Royale, actually, like the first James Bond book. So it was interesting, because obviously I'd seen the film beforehand, and then I read the novel, which is something I've done with quite a few books recently. And it's actually quite an interesting thing to do in general, let alone sort of with something as modern as that, because you've got the two time differences between the book and the film. You've got, you know, the book is set in the 50s in what's essentially just one place. It's set in one town in southern France where the casinos are and all that sort of thing. So it's all centralised around that. Nothing really changes there. Whereas the film is worldwide and it's all over the place and makes, you know, different things. And what effectively happens in the film is half of the film is making up for one chapter of the book to explain the lack of the Soviet Union. So because in the book, it's set in the 50s when the Cold War is effectively starting, or started, you know, Berlin Wall's gone up, and there's now the two sides being communism and,
capitalism
and socialism sort of thing on the other side. So... And there's a lot of espionage going on anyway. That's all almost quite well documented as far as it can be in history. And there are other writers such as Le Carré who has written about the same sort of thing. It's another book I'm reading at the moment. But
you can tell you don't sleep.
Yeah, this is it. But anyway, it's set in this scene where you've got a massive threat, the other side of the wall, and it's a worldwide battle. It's sort of like... World War III almost, because
it is
such a massive thing. And so the whole setup for the film is that Le Chiffre is the same operative as he is in the film, but he's not working for the nameless corporation, the company. He's actually working for the Soviet Union, and he's working as in the same role as a sort of money man. But in this case, he's actually spent all the money on brothels and things for himself, effectively. And then suddenly laws came in that changed things so that he lost all the money. So it wasn't a big bet, it wasn't a big scam like they do in the film. It was just him messing up, effectively. And now he's going down to this casino to win back the money to pay off his debt. And that's when you get to the film and the book into the same place. Because it starts off with James Bond being sent to this place, you're not quite sure why, and it's all the whole explanation about his past and things, whereas, you know, it's completely different in the film. So it's just another example where the film version and the book version are they're compatible. They do work, but they have a different perception on the story and a different sort of mode to put it across.
But I think that's important when you make a movie out of a book, because people have read the book, and obviously when people have read the book, they've got a certain set of expectations about the movie already. And if the movie doesn't fill in these expectations, they will not like the movie. So if you try and okay, you obviously you base it on the book, but you change it a bit, then these expectations, when they don't get filled, it's not as bad, because I think, okay, because the movie is an adaptation of the book.
I think that's almost necessary with Carl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, like you said, people are just going to get pissed off that it's not loyal.
It's never as good as the book. And
sure.
Then people are indeed pissed off, oh, it's not the same as the book. But do you really want it to be the same as the book? So what's the point?
This is it. And obviously there's the time difference, the change of things. If it was set in the 50s, it would be a completely different film.
Exactly.
But it's just an interesting translation. I also I read The Fellowship of the Ring, and obviously I've watched those films as well. And something my dad said was that there are things that he has read in the book that he just couldn't imagine. He couldn't picture them. And then the film comes along and sort of puts it across. And I think this applies to Casino Royale as well, because a lot of Fleming's writing is based around less the description of the characters, but more of what they're thinking, their thought processes, and how they calculate the situations and what they do in those situations. So there's a lot that goes unanswered almost in almost the texture of the characters and the locations that they're in. So that's where the film really comes across, I think. After watching the film Casino Royale, I actually watched some of Dr. No and Goldfinger, which were the first two Bond films to be made with Sean Connery, who I actually think is a much better Bond to the character that Fleming wrote. But it's putting across that texture and the full sort of flavour of the character, I think, a bit more thoroughly than the more modern ones, which just seem to be slightly more...
I think Pierce Brosnan was quite good.
I do as well, actually.
But I think the new one, what's his name again? The guy with
Daniel
the blue
Craig.
Eyes.
That's
oh, his eyes.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, I can see that he's hot, but I always, when I think of James Bond, I think of a guy with dark hair.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think of a
well,
blondie.
That's how he's written. And it's just... It shows the transition more evidently. It's comparing the original films to the more modern films. That's sort of almost like another transition from book to film in the first place. And the sort of depth to the character is almost lost in that respect. But then again, they have actually applied aspects to the film, the recent film, that were lost in some of the older films, especially the Roger Moore ones, where it all became a bit frivolous and over the top. So like the whole Cube Run thing, it's less about gadgets, it's more about a spy thriller, which is an in-depth, quite a scary world, so it's got different levels, some of which work very well, I think, some of which don't work as well, but in the end it's, in my opinion, quite a good adaptation for the modern film viewing environment.
Right. I've watched a few of the Bond films, but they never really did it for me. Are they actually making a new one? I'm not sure now.
They are. I think I can't remember. It's called Skyline or something. Skylight or something.
No idea.
But yeah. I hear that's going to be the end of the trilogy, though, because there is actually a short story that Fleming wrote called Quantum of Solace, but it's different to the recent film.
Right, okay.
And that sort of follows on almost where Casino Royale didn't leave off. It sort of ends in a very similar way the book does, but I'm not sure how much of a direct translation it makes
to the
sequel and film.
Well, I think all the movies, or all the recent movies, kind of end in the same way, don't they? It's all with, okay, he solves it and then he runs off with the woman.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, that was always, that's all the classic way of doing it, whereas in the recent one, well, at least in the last two, that hasn't happened at all. He's sort of...
What happened, actually? No, I can't
In the first one, true to the book, Vespa dies. It's a slightly different scenario, but it's true nonetheless. And in Quantum of Solace, he ends up just leaving and going home, eventually.
Goes home.
Yeah, so again, it's true to the book in one sense, but not true to James Bond in another.
Right.
So it's just sort of an interesting adaptation that sort of quite hard to get your head around when you first watch it, I think. But reading the book makes a lot of clarity, so I recommend it.
I think people that watch films and read books have to remember that it's two different mindsets. Absolutely. There's like the two different conflicting creative people, because obviously you've got the author of the book who, when he writes it, he must imagine a very different thing, and then the director comes along and gives it a whole different interpretation. I'm pretty sure when you read a book, we all don't imagine the same thing.
No.
So really, sure. It's the director just giving what he imagined when exactly. he read the book.
But then again, you get books like The Beach by Alex Garland, which was made into a film by Danny Boyle. And
amazing
Alex Garland,
film.
Yeah, it's a very good film. But Alex Garland actually works as a screenwriter with Danny Boyle in other films.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he did on that one. But they're obviously close together and sort of quite a close-knit source. Society in that way, so you get that almost crosses the border, it, you know, feathers the line that divides them, and you can get actually a very good interpretation into film.
A Game of Thrones is a recent series based on books as well, and that is also with the writer working on the series. I think he writes part of the script, or he has done a few episodes where he's a complete, you know, he writes the script and he writes, you know.
You can imagine there'd be quite a lot of conflict, so because it'd be quite difficult because with
on,
the director...
On the creative side, yeah, I suppose so.
They'd be trying to push forward their own ideas, and then the writer would be like, well, I envisioned it this way.
Mm.
And I just can imagine there'd be a lot of catfights.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the best, obviously, film adaptations, which probably we've all seen, is Lord of the Rings, I think. That's one movie, if you watch the extended version, I think, where I think it sticks... Obviously, it can't do everything that's... Well, you can't make the entire book into a movie, because that would be like 7-8 hours movies if you wanted to do that. So, but what he's done, I think, Jackson, is really well done. And I think if you read the books and you watch the movies, you can really relate to it. And I think it really fits.
Yeah, I think he actually is an incredibly well done thing. The only thing I think that doesn't come across very well, generally the storytelling is very close to the book, with the odd exception of sort of some characters are omitted where they're not required. But
yeah.
That's okay. But the only thing that you sort of lose from the films is the scale of the thing. And it's like, it takes a month from them to go from, what, Hobbiton to Rivendell. Like, if you think how far it would take, how far you get if you walked for a month, you could walk from Land's End to John and Groats in that almost. You could walk the length of the country. You sort of think, that's how far they walked, and that wasn't halfway, you know, it's like... And you just sort of don't get that perception, I don't
know. Yeah,
think.
Yeah, you it, kind of, it's true.
It's necessary, because, like you say, the size of the film and how it works, but nonetheless,
no,
that's
point.
The one thing that
I
found that is lost in that film translation, which you might not necessarily get with another film, which is less based on the sort of classic storytelling.
True, because it feels, when you watch the movie, you feel that it's a bit rushed. Because obviously there's so much happening, and I think the books, I don't know if it actually says in the books how many years that it spans over. I don't know.
It's about a year to the day. At some point, it's a year from leaving Hobbiton back to Rivendell.
But then when you watch the movie, you don't have that feeling that it's actually a year past.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, when you watch the three movies, but then, yeah. It's hard to do that.
So I think that, but otherwise, I think he's done a fantastic
Absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely. Oh my God, it's amazing. I love
yeah.
it.
And
definitely my favorite.
Really, I mean, there are very few aspects of the film that aren't that true to the books. So
I think the actors are really, really well done. The only one I actually don't really like is Orlando Bloom. I don't really like him as Legolas.
Jealousy.
Possibly.
As he's written, actually, is quite good. I think he's not quite hasn't got the right sort of disdain as the character is written. He's actually written as quite a sort of mean person. Almost.
Yeah, but like the other elf did it better. I think, what was his name? That died at and what's it?
In the second book.
Yeah, what's his? You know who I mean, right?
Yeah,
he really looked really elfish, and
yeah.
his features, he was really sort of, and he was really stern looking, because elves are not really happy people. They're old as hell, and they're because
well,
obviously
yeah,
with
got to read the book. Yeah, I think actually that's another aspect of Lothlorien, which is sort of a bit weird, and how that's sort of a magical land, and as it's written, it's almost like they lose track of time.
Yeah,
they don't know how long they've been there and things, and it's that sort of makes the world of, you know, elves and all that come a bit more alive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
that's quite nice.
I think doing that was probably the hardest for Jackson, making the elves believable, because in the movies, well, in the books, there's sort of the whole story and the history of the elves is very, it's huge, you know, it's, and then to get that in a movie and to give that feeling to a viewer, like, these elves, they're old and they really know their stuff and, you know, they've gone through a lot. You don't, don't know, it's hard to do, but he did it well, I think.
I think so. Hello and welcome back to LNX on Source Radio. That was Tiny Dancer by Elton John, of course, because apparently he was gay. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's not really a known fact that he is a bit of a...
Yeah, a gay person.
Yeah.
I think the term is closet.
Yeah, right. that must
would
be
the
it.
Politically correct term.
Yeah. Before that, Victoria by the Kinks, which is just a nice song. We're probably going to play Lola later as well, but I have a feeling somebody might have played it already today. Who knows?
I really want Fate No More. Fate No More.
I'll get
midlife crisis.
Yeah,
Fate No More.
We'll put that
and
on.
Losing My Religion by R.E.M.
Yeah, that's on the list.
Good, sweet.
It's all good. It's all gravy here on
LNX. Those songs are great.
Yeah, man.
We were going to talk about religion.
We were just talking amongst ourselves what songs were on, and it was quite interesting talking about how different places have different sort of views to what essentially is free speech in the end when you come down to it. Because we've still got in Britain, I think laws against disrespecting religion.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure on the specifics.
But isn't
that
a bit ironic? Because you guys, what was his name? I don't know. He basically gave the middle finger to the church because he wanted to divorce someone.
Henry VIII.
That was him. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
He made his own religion.
Yeah. And he created his own religion. So how? Is it? I mean, to me, that's pretty disrespectful towards religion.
Yes, but he was the king. He was God's representative on earth. That it wasn't the Pope or something.
Basically meant he could do whatever.
No, he hated the Pope.
Well, yeah, but, well, depending on who he wanted to marry, he liked or disliked him.
That's true.
But if my history serves me right, but that's a while ago since I did Henry VIII. But, yeah, it's all just looking at... We were talking about Denmark and where, Switzerland or... Sweden.
Yeah.
And how effectively you can say what you want.
Yeah, you can have pretty
free speech is actually
to be
true like, free speech.
Because that's one thing in England where people are kind of really sorry, my voice is gone. Where people in England are actually really sensitive to the whole sort of racism, because I think obviously people make jokes, but there's one thing in England is famous for making inappropriate jokes. But there's one thing where English people will not joke about. And that's,
Well, yeah, openly, I suppose.
Yeah, openly, probably. But, like, racism jokes are not done. Like, you can joke about just about anything, but not racism.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between racist comments and racially insensitive comments.
Right.
Because again, I mean, I'm not racist and I don't like the concept. I think it's just
people are people. I don't care what color skin or
exactly.
what religion they are.
I've got.
Care.
There's no reason. It's sort of just shallow of people to have an issue with it. But free speech is sort of a cornerstone of humanity, and if you've got an opinion, you should be allowed to voice it. I mean, that's the trouble is where it comes down to inciting hatred.
Yeah, obviously. Where's the line? Where are you kind of,
I think we draw the line at Nick Griffin.
it's quite a wide line to draw over him. But, yeah, I think so. But, I mean, it's like there are, I think, quite recently two Muslim boys were stopped for handing out pamphlets with, saying attack gay people effectively. I'm not sure exactly when this was, but it was quite recently. And I think, well, that's, again, free speech and all that, but actually, you're just...
That's kind of encouraging
you're just
people...
wankers, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Like, get a life for what?
To each their own. If everyone's allowed to do whatever they like. If you want to be gay, or if you... I mean, obviously, you don't really choose to be gay, but... if you want to be religious in whatever way, and if your religion doesn't approve of that, well, tough luck, That means within your inner circle, if that happens, okay, probably it's a bit awkward, but really, just get over it. I mean, to each their own.
I think
and the same with religion. I mean, everyone's allowed to have their own religion, personally, I'm not a fan of any religion, but
no, but you know, it's not. Well, you know, I'm of the opinion that I'm completely atheist, so I'm not going to try and stop people from believing religion. But yeah, I'm not going to tolerate people sort of stopping me from saying.
I hate people who try and like push it down your throat. Like, I'm Christian.
As I understand it, I think there are laws against insulting religion, effectively, which is completely wrong.
You should also be able to joke about religion. Any religion. Christianity, Islam,
Judaism, anything. Well, this is it. Atheism. You know, people obviously
could joke about atheism. Because you don't have a soul.
Yes.
You're not religious, mate.
Apparently not. I'm damned to that hell that I don't believe exists.
But then we argue that is Satan such a bad person? Because, you know, God told them to punish the bad people, which makes God a dictator. Because maybe Satan's like, you know what, man, I don't really want to punish these people. And God's like, I don't give a damn what you want. You know, you're going to punish these people.
I damn you to hell and I'll make you punish the people.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the way I look at it is, in heaven, you've got God looking over everything, making sure everything's cool. Then you've got angels sort of doing his bidding. Then you've got all the people who are there. Saved.
Dead.
Yeah.
Dead people.
But so everyone in heaven is equal, right? But then you've got angels who are slightly more equal than
there's others. A hierarchy.
Yeah. Communism. That's what.
Yeah, there's always someone more equal than someone else. Yeah.
So, you know.
Doesn't work.
Apparently, heaven is filled with damn commies.
That reminds me of a song. You guys might know it from the good old days. OPM, Heaven is a Halfpipe.
Oh, hell definitely. Yeah.
We need to play that song.
I don't care
if it's.
Well, first we're going to play Losing My Religion.
Right, yes! And then we'll play Heaven. Sweet.
So yeah, that was a nice, cheery, religious / racist / free speech debate.
Yeah, there we go.
Source Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to LNX on Source Radio. Sorry, I was shouting there because I can't reach the microphone. But that's okay. That was Losing My Religion by REM and Heaven is a Halfpipe by OPM.
We've got a bit for bands with acronym names, don't we?
Yeah, and also it was just quite appropriate because we were slating sort of religious folks and whatnot. Because we can, because we're on the radio. Yeah. Get away with it.
Do whatever we like.
Yeah, man.
Although, probably at the end of this show, we're going to have a black fan standing outside and we'll disappear on the face of the earth.
Black bagged.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was worth it. So.
Totally, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Bye, world.
Probably would have been kidnapped by all those communist angels.
Oh yes, God, yeah. All the communist angels. Who,
I'll show you some equality.
Yeah, who hate, who have prejudices. That's angels for you. What are they like, eh?
That's supposed to be the goody two-shoes, eh?
Yeah. But I don't know. We've had quite a good show, I think.
We had a good laugh.
We've got 25 minutes cool, left or so.
To have Abigail around as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. It's very nice.
Thank you.
Sort of having a nice chill out.
Bit of a chat. Yeah, I'm starving. I don't know about you guys, but I'm starving.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go get some lunch, late lunch.
If
early lunch is called brunch, what's late lunch called? Le lunch. Or
but why is it called brunch anyway?
Breakfast
because
lunch.
It's between.
Breakfast for lunch.
It's like if you wake up late, but it's not lunchtime. You have like a fry up, and that's brunch.
We have a fry up at night. I'm gonna have a fry up tonight.
Yeah, I might do two.
Jeez. That stuff is amazing.
I think the best meals are brunners.
Brunners?
That's breakfast dinners. It's when you wake up in the morning and you realize it's breakfast time, and then you just sleep through the whole day, and then you decide you're hungry at night time. But then you roll all three courses into one. So you could have a fry up, and it would count as a brunner because I guess you'd have some toast, and you'd probably have some beans, which would count as lunch.
That sounds awesome.
You wash it down with orange juice, which you could have in the morning.
With a cup of tea.
But in Poland, they have it at night, or Ukraine, they have it at night. Apparently,
it's like you have coffee after a meal sometimes, anyway. So
I need to go to the gym after my. After my fry up, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, leave it a little while, I'd say.
Probably.
Just in case. I tried something actually. It's quite an American thing, but I tried it when I was on a cruise ship once, an American cruise ship.
Posh little person.
I didn't pay for it, so.
All right.
Anyway. But no, the point was that American breakfast is awesome. They had pancakes.
Bacon.
With bacon.
And syrup.
And syrup.
They do that.
Oh.
And ice cream.
Syrup. Yeah, I know.
Wait, bacon, pancakes, and syrup. That's disgusting, man.
Oh, mate, you don't.
I hate bacon already.
Crispy
bacon. They have this
bacon.
Thing, and they like called candied bacon, and they like cover it in sugar and syrup, and then they bake it in the oven.
And okay, that does actually sound.
I'm a vegetarian, so I think it's absolutely appalling. I'm getting crazy looks right now. But
what?
I've got to admit, like, as far as bad food, bad good food goes, it would probably be quite nice.
Oh, yeah. That's why, actually, whilst you're here. My housemate's a vegetarian, and I can't work out why. Because there are two types.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this. Is it the save the animals, and then it's the I don't like meat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get this a lot. Basically, I don't like to eat meat. I'm not really that fussed about saving animals. If you know me, you'll know that I'm a big cynic. I'm a big fan of death, and I'm not a big fan of bunnies and like cute little piggies. So it's not that I avoid eating meat because of the I don't think that I'm going to, like, save the earth by not eating meat, because that's just deluded.
It was sort of just your description. Yeah, I don't like animals and cute little piggies and bunnies. And sort of.
I'm a cat person, that's as far as I go. Yeah.
Cats.
I'm a cat-loving vegetarian.
Oh, dear.
I told you this at the end of the show.
So dog-loving meat eater. It'll never work.
Cats are probably the worst. So evil. They're, like, evil creatures there.
No, but the thing is, I feel like dogs are, they love a lot of people. Then, like, people say, oh, dogs are very devoted, but with cats, they have to choose you. I find it.
Yeah, that sucks.
You have a much more intimate relationship. Not intimate, probably the wrong word.
Hold on.
You have kind of a closer relationship with a cat, because the cat grows to love you over time, whereas the dog just loves anyone that will give it a treat.
Yeah,
I don't think so, actually.
A dog also picks one person as well, in a way. My dog, for example, will pick my mum. Like, and you can go walking with the dog, it would be alright. But once in a while, it will stop and it will want to go back home because mum's not there. But if you go with mum, it will not do that.
Yeah, my mind
is
the same.
She will also always go and sit next to my mum. Like, you can cuddle her, and you can. You know, sometimes she'll come sit next to you, but she'll move and she'll go sit next to your mum. So strategically, if you want to cuddle with my dog, you want to sit next to mum.
It's like when, because I don't live with my parents, whenever they mention my name in the house, the dogs start like perking their ears up and things. And if I turn up, they go mental and sort of jump on me. It's great.
My cat's beautiful, and since I moved away from home, she sleeps on my bed. And it's quite funny, really. She sleeps under my bed, and when I went home, it's kind of strange because I wasn't used to her doing this, and I was lying in bed and I was thinking, where's my cat? I'd really like a cuddle right now, because we cuddle in bed. It's normal, I promise. And it turns out she was under my bed and I heard her little bell ring and she jumped up. It's like she knew what I was thinking. But that's how cat lovers think. They're convinced that cats talk to them. You should hear my grandma. She's hilarious.
I just think cats, I feel like cats are distant. Like, a dog will save you, like, in a situation where you go walking with your dog. I think this happened, actually, my friend told me. A guy went walking with his dog along a ridge, and a bit of a walk path broke off because it was heavy rain. They fell down, like, don't know how many meters. Guy got really badly hurt, bruised ribs, you know, passed out for a while. The dog was fine, managed to find a way back up, managed to go to town and bring someone back to save his owner. And I bet you a cat will never do that. A cat will be like, well, screw you then, bye.
Well, you don't go walking with your cat, do you?
No, that's true, but the cat will.
Yeah, even worse, you know. Less
many,
exercise
like,
from
there's
cats.
There's many stories where a dog saved his owner, and a cat will never do that.
Well, cats can't save people, they're tiny.
Yeah, but there's tiny
that's
dogs.
That's there. Sort of our point, I think. Oh, well.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. No, I mean,
so you're sizest.
Yeah,
that's
sizest,
yeah, absolutely. Don't know, I like cats, but I feel I struggle warming to them because I feel I don't know warming to me.
I think it's a lot like to do with how you grew up. People who grew up in a house with a cat,
yeah, we'll
very
cats.
Much more cat people. People who grew up with dogs prefer dogs. People who grew up with both, just mental.
Yeah, they're just weird. No, nobody wants to talk to them. Ugh, dirty. Source. Hello and welcome back to LNX on Source Radio. We were just talking about how attractive Marilyn Manson is.
Beautiful.
I would not. If I was a girl, I would not touch that guy with a barge pole. I would love him.
Would you not him. Just because he's Marilyn Manson, you'd think, you know, just to say you have?
Well, that's yeah, one to add to the little black book, isn't it?
Experience, wouldn't it? After that, you might just be lesbian.
I genuinely think he's a very attractive person, but...
Really?
Yeah. It's worrying.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, there are various...
It's fine, whatever you're into.
There are various rumours going around about him. Apparently, he bought a Chinese girl's skeleton. I bet she was pissed off.
She probably needed that.
Yeah. I don't know. But either way, that was Personal Jesus by... Well, it's a cover, but it was by Marilyn Manson.
Which is original Depeche Mode.
Yes. But no, so I always... Well, I don't always prefer his versions, but he does do good versions of things.
Tender Love, amazing.
Yeah. And the other one. Either way.
What's the other one? What's another cover he did? Tender Love, Personal Jesus.
No.
I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Hold on, have a look.
Oh, well.
There, well, this is going to really annoy me now. Because, I know it's on the greatest hits, so I'll have a look. Because he's done a few in, like, bits and pieces.
He's been really successful.
Sweet Dreams are made of these.
Oh my god, that's an amazing song.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I think he's got a good vibe going. Even if he's sort of...
Creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Beautifully creepy.
Yeah. Right.
I can see why you would, but I think he's actually a revolting looking guy, but because he's Marilyn Manson, it makes him kind of sexy.
Mm.
In a weird way. I still don't know how what Kat Von D is.
I still don't understand how Kat
Von... Dieter
Von D. Kat Von... What's the other?
You're thinking of Kat Von D, but it's Dieter Von Teese that married
one,
him.
Yeah. Mm. She's hot. Both of them are. Actually, no. I'd say Dieter Von Teese is hot.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
What did she see in him?
Now, he's with Rose McGowan now. Is she an actress?
I don't know who
she is. She's another beautiful woman. And I don't know how he does it, but he does. So
he's Marilyn Manson.
But I think that's why... Because he's Marilyn Manson, and he's just like...
Yeah, that's his chat-up line. Hey,
I'm Marilyn Manson.
Get
in my pants now!
But no, I think he was on interviewed for Bowling for Columbine. You ever seen that?
Yeah, I love that. He's actually a really clever and intelligent dude. He's a bit mental, but...
Yeah.
He does make sense.
Because I've seen him live, and you said you had too. And he's sort of very... He seems quite charismatic on stage. Then he just does things with his... testicles and things, which
it's
nobody wants to see.
Beautiful.
Right, whatever. I don't want to see.
You've got an interesting, you know, definition of beautiful, but whatever you're into.
Absolutely. Either way, we're going to play one more song, so this is going to be our sign-off now. We're going to play Faith No More, Midlife Crisis. But thanks for listening, everybody. Next week, we're actually...
Continuing with
Zania.
Abigail.
Yeah, we're continuing with Abigail, which should be really good. So check out the podcast... which will be out at some point, hopefully before Tuesday, but you know me. Either way.
Faith No More.
Yeah. Source Radio.